Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I am Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, 2-4-14, 1914. And
maybe it's actually 2014. I'm just saying,
just in case. Huh?
Well, you said it was 1914. Yeah, maybe somebody would be like, "What's happening? What's going on?" Boy, it's been a busy week, hasn't it?
It looks like, especially for you.
Oh, I was busy smoking every possible meat known to man. Starting at started the ovens up at 2:30 in the morning.
You should be smoking the market.
Yeah, well, that too. And there was just an unbelievable event. I watched the Super Bowl all the way through the safety. Which, obviously. Seriously. Now, can I ask you something? Do you remember the last time the Broncos were in the Super Bowl?
Was that the time they were – well, the last two times they were in the Super Bowl, they won two games in a row. But before that, they were crushed by the Niners 55-10.
Remember that? The first play was a major, like, 99-yard touchdown.
All I know is that these guys have now lost more Super Bowls than any other team, including the Buffalo Bills. They've
really?
Lost six. Six.
Mm.
They're 2-6.
It was a rather, I thought, uneventful game. But, the big winners of this game were the gamblers. It seems that there was a lot of bets placed on the safety during the game. And the safety in the first play. The safety in the game is an 8-1 bet. For it being the first score of the game, it's 50-1, which I thought actually was kind of low, those odds.
That is low. That means somebody, that guy, the center.
Yeah, he had it.
He must have had a bunch of money riding on a safety.
Right, exactly.
Perfect opportunity.
This is the third Super Bowl, I think in a row, that there was a safety in.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, I mean,
think teams at this level would not be susceptible to a safety. That's the bonehead play. This game, when the safety being the first play of the game, it was over.
Right.
It was like, oh, okay. I thought the team that was going to be nervous was Seattle, but they weren't nervous. Well, I mean, they were just a first few passes by Wilson seemed to be overthrows, but after that, they just demolished these guys. I mean, it was an embarrassing. And I thought Denver would win. A lot of people did, but now,
yep. No, it definitely was one of those incredible events. Although it was, even though it was boring, at least in the beginning, I should say, there was still the largest audience ever, 111 million viewers.
Yeah, I wonder what it was at the end.
Yeah, it was probably about, well, I wasn't there. I wouldn't know. So maybe 15 or 20 people hung around. But that really sucks for the advertisers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, poor guys.
It also sucks for the American Conference, which seems to be crap.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those terrible. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like watching a Mike Tyson fight when he was in the throes of his
in the early days where he just charged the guy and knock him out in the first round.
Yeah, you wait 3 hours through all the previews and all the stuff. You pay the pay per view $35 to get the event, and then it's over in one punch. That was rather boring. Anyway, the Olympics are the other sporting event that I wanted to mention. Are you excited?
Do I have Olympic fever?
Yeah. Is it next week, I think, right?
I don't know. I don't keep track of it.
Do you watch the figure skating?
I'm going to turn on NBC and there's going to be somebody skating.
Always skating. What is that? It's always on.
Skating. I have no idea.
I'm not a big skating fan. I like some of the others. The luge.
Luge is fun.
Luge is fun. Curling. I told you, I'm going to be right there on the curling. I got to figure out how to set my VCR thingamajiggy to only record curling.
I don't think it's possible.
I don't think it's possible either, but that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how great it would be, but it would be different.
Last thing on television I want to mention is, have you seen this show, Black Sails?
Not yet.
It's brand
no.
new. You've heard of it, though, right?
Yeah.
It's pornographic.
Oh, is it?
I don't even know how they get away with this stuff.
Is it a good pornographic or just crap?
It's all right. It's pretty. No, it's definitely. It's every time they're talking about somebody, somebody's on their knees in the corner doing something. And the F-bomb is flying.
Yeah.
And it's on Starz. I know it's cable, but is that like a HBO kind of thing, or is it like a Fox?
It's a premium. It's actually quite, it's one of the newest of these movie channels that it has some pretty good quality product on their main on their main channel, Stars.
Right. I was pretty shocked, though, when I saw this language and all that. And total nudity.
Huh.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Anyway, markets are taking a beating. Monday was one of the worst days of the markets in many, many months. And you could probably chalk it up to a lot of things. We saw that the ISM index of manufacturing in the U.S. fell to 51.5, I believe it was, which I was pretty shocked to see. It was 56 prior, and it was pretty, kind of cruising along okay, and it drops to 51 and change. Now, that is a very small margin above the 50, which is the demarcation line for expansion versus contraction of the market of the manufacturing sector.
Right.
Pretty substantial. Then we had China come in at 50.5, one of the worst readings they've had in 6 months. But I think it is possible, and what you think, that this little thing that's going on here is a little welcome party for Yellen.
Yeah, that's funny. It definitely will keep her, wake her up.
Yeah, and saying, hey, by the way, just to let you know, we need to hear you say something about more free money, just to let you know, or else we're going to crush this thing. So
yeah, we can do it.
Yeah, and it was pretty ugly. There's a little bit of bounce back today. On Tuesday, it was, I think, half-hearted. The volume was pretty light. And right after the close, the bell went off, and the futures just kind of went whoop, straight down. And then that, I think they went down, let's see, if the markets were up about 0.75% today, let's say, the futures went down about 40 basis points, so clopped about half of them off. And during the evening, the rest of it's gone. So if we open up right now, this exact moment, and it was tomorrow morning on the open, you'd be down about 0.75%. Pretty ugly beginning to the year, don't you think?
Well, we already had our bad January.
Yeah.
So, that's portends for the bad things for the market for the year. And then we also had the national conference of the football. And when the national conference wins, the market goes down.
Yeah, there's some Super Bowl factor.
It's a coincident index that doesn't work most of the time. But
yeah, it's the groundhog thing. Also, they make the good news is they don't put on those stupid hats when they talk about the January and the football. But I did listen. You've been hearing about, well, January determines the year and all the stuff, right? It's all over the TV, right? So I thought, you know what? Before I start buying into this totally, because it's a great phrase we've heard for forever, let me do a little research. So I went back to 1927, and I pulled up every January's returns.
Okay.
And looked at those compared to the return for the year.
I like this. This is research.
Yeah, research. This is my this is a January indicator research. So there's 86 years that we looked at, 86 occurrences of, and by the way, just as crazy as it may sound, every year had a January.
I heard that, yeah, they haven't changed that at all. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is.
So far, so good. Even with cutbacks, they still kept the January. So January, there's 86 Januaries. About 74% of the time, the January does in fact determine the year. But let's kind of go through that a little bit. The times that Januaries were up were 55 and out of the 86. And during that time, when you saw that the January was up, the year was up 83% of the time. When the January was down, which was 31 times, the year was down only 18 times, or 58% of the time. Hmm. The more accurate is when you see a significant move. So when you see a January that has a greater return than 3%, there was 33 times there that happened. Of those, the year was positive 75% of the time. And when it was lower than 3% in January, worse than 3%, the total times that it was a negative year was 63%. The problem I have with this was that when you look at just the separation of the positive Januaries versus the negative Januaries, the 58% was not a very convincing factor on the downside.
Hmm.
83% I'll go with. Even the 74%, of total.
So down doesn't mean that much.
Doesn't mean as much as up, yeah.
And this is the same as when you do insider trade. I look for insider trades. the sales don't mean as much as the purchases.
Right. Exactly. So there you go. There you have it. Your DH Unplugged research for the week.
So, and what it means is that that doesn't mean anything.
I would say that was a complete waste of about, what, 2.5 minutes?
Well, no, I think it was very educational. Now I know that when it goes down, it's not that big of a deal.
I don't think even if it goes up, it's that big of a deal. I think it's just a, you know, I think there is a higher correlation, no question about that. But at the same time, you know, if you look at the amount of times that the markets have been up over that same period of time, it's probably just as high. So I don't know. I just don't think it was that great of an indicator just because on the upside. And, you know, you're also looking at it just on a 12-month basis. Who really cares about the year? You know, do we have to go by calendar year for this? It's just something that we've boxed.
It would be nice to find a different month that was a really good indicator.
I think April's a
100% accurate.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think that's the case. Not the case. They took that month away, by the way. That was the Baker's month. The extra 13. All right. Now, the thing is that while we have this big drop in the market, this is a test to see how much you've been paying attention, John, okay? All of the talking heads on TV with this big sell-off, are they saying markets are due for more? Markets are now cheap? And wow, this is just a small hiccup in a very big bull market that's going to extend for years.
Well, I'm sure you could find somebody that says each one of those things.
But what's the majority on CNBC saying?
Well, if it was CNBC, they would have, I think, the last thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is now is a buying opportunity.
Buying opportunity like never before.
Yeah, well, that's predictable without even hearing it.
Yeah. So the other thing we saw today, the only thing that was really, I thought, was possible out there that could derail markets was, but I don't think it really was.
Hold on. Does anybody at CNBC ever bring somebody on and said, this is the short opportunity of a lifetime?
I think every once in a while to create some kind of validity, they bring on Mark Faber or Faber, the guy that's always negative. So you can count on him to always be negative. He's always going to be negative.
Oh, yeah.
Well, about the United States, he may like, you know, he's a. I like the emerging markets, China, and of course Kazakhstan has a very good market.
You have him there.
Thank you. Well, you know, gold, good thing to have in any portfolio. Puerto Rico was deemed to have new status for their bonds, and that is junk.
Ah.
Yep, yes. Puerto Rico.
That's great.
Yep. The reduced capacity to access liquidity to fund its operating deficit. Have you been to Puerto Rico?
I've always wanted to visit.
Lovely place. I drove out from San Juan to this place that's on the coast. Mm-hmm. It's about if I recall correctly, it was about an hour and something ride. Now, if you have any problem with your car, you can get it fixed along that ride. There are these little places that fix radiators. There's like 5-in-a-row radiators, and then there's 2 tire and hubcap places, and then there's a carburetor place. And it seems like the entire business structure of this area is all single-man shops fixing some component of your car.
Huh.
With
small business at its best.
Yeah. I'm not talking about this kind of like drive-off-the-road kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a little shack there, a guy sitting in a chair waiting for you. Let's see. Emerging markets are still weighing on sentiment. As a matter of fact, we saw that there's a big discussion now that Denmark may default and have a sovereign crisis. I'm not sure why that would matter. They're not that big of a economy, but I guess it's a problem. And we are seeing the continuation of the problems in the emerging markets, although they did rebound today very nicely after the currencies did, in fact, start coming up. You know, this whole issue with the currencies and money withdrawals. There's been funds that had, I think it was $550 billion invested in, it was a Turkish, the lira, ETF. I think like $450 million get yanked out of that.
Mm.
That's a big chunk. And this is what's been going on. The amount of money that's been coming out of these particular countries, and they're trying desperately to hold on to it, has been ongoing. So the emerging markets are still a problem. But this factory orders and our ISM, you know, the big thing that's happening now is that we're seeing the emerging markets, a lot of slowdown happening as well. A lot of it's being blamed on the polar vortex, you know what I'm saying?
Still?
Yeah. It's ongoing. It's being a colder than weather, than usual weather, slow demand and production, bringing a halt to the recent momentum in U.S.
Don't we normally have cold weather in the winter?
Most of the time, I would say. Well, yeah, for the most part, but not this polar vortex. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Abenomics. There's some concern over there. You know, this whole experiment that's going on in Japan?
Yeah, Abe. Yeah.
Abenomics.
Abenomics.
Everybody that was voted in, I don't know, about a year ago, 2 years ago, when they started this whole process, was like, yo, go, you know, do your thing and devalue the yen and, you know, flood the markets with money and, you know.
Yeah, we'll make our exports more appealing.
Right, exactly. But there's a couple of newbies coming on the scene that may have a chance of being elected that could throw a little bit of a monkey wrench in that. They're not so thrilled with this whole process.
Hmm.
And China.
Why? It seems to be working out for them.
Seems to be working out. But how far can you go just to, you know, take it?
You don't have to go any further. It's right now. It's at parity, more or less.
Yeah, exactly. 101
I think it's about a buck, 101. Yep. 101.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, let me take a look. Yeah, it's 101.35,
mm-hmm.
which is perfect for them and us.
Well, it still is. They needed that big push. You know, you saw the yen come down, what, 5 or 6% recently? Their markets are in a correction now. It's over 10% down.
Hmm.
And that was just that little move on the currencies and the concern about, you know, the emerging markets and the, I think some of the, you know, there's a lot of fighting. What is the deal with Japan and China? They just can't get over themselves, huh? So they fight all the time.
A lot of it has to do with the reserves of, ever since the Japanese decided to eschew nuclear power and go with gas and you know, old-fashioned stuff because of the problem with the Fukushima. They have been looking around for gas deposits near their country, and there's one right there by those two islands that are where all the fuss is, and there's a huge gas deposit that the Chinese would like to get a hold of, and the Japanese would like to get a hold of both. And so this is what the problem. I think this is one of the bases for the fight, the squabble.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things going on there where, you know, we saw that the Chinese are saying, hey, you know what, kind of mess with us. We're not going to buy Japanese cars. And that's not a good thing because there's a lot of Japanese cars sold in China.
I think it's a bluff.
It may be. It could be. But I think that's having
an effect. As far as I'm concerned, the Japanese make the world's greatest cars.
Do you like them over – I mean, you're talking in general. There may be a car here or there, like an Audi or a, you know, something else.
I don't know. Somebody can make a great car. But I say in general, the Japanese are the great car builders. They always actually have been traditionally.
What is – if you were to pick a car, something that you – you know, not just a regular car. I mean, something that you really would want. What would that be?
Anything?
Yeah. Well, within reason.
I think I'd get that Lexus sports car, that $100,000 one that they – make a limited. Actually, the GT from Nissan is a really good car. Larry Ellison has one, which is something to say.
Yeah.
They're $80,000, I think, but they're gorgeous.
What about this new Corvette?
I'd like to drive one and see what it's like.
Yeah, that looks nice. I mean, I've driven the Tesla's gorgeous inside. I mean, the Corvette has some unbelievable power, you know, and it's reasonably priced. I mean,
how much power do you need?
Well, I mean, to get from my house to the office, which is all of 3 minutes, pretty much walking, not much. Let's see what we got here. Did you see Amazon? Amazon disappointed investors.
And the stock went up.
No, it went down, actually.
Well, it would go up normally.
I was waiting for it. I saw it fall about 6-7%. I'm like, uh-oh, that's the limit. You know, once it goes down there, everybody starts piling in. But the next day, it actually – and it did, in fact. It went down about 7% after hours and then kind of came up, and it was down maybe 3% towards the close of the post-market session. And then in the morning, it started kind of creeping lower. It finished that day last week at about down 10%. And generally, it's about down 10% from the high where it was recently. And one of the big issues was that big concern about the cost of shipping.
I know. They want to jack up the Prime thing, too.
Yeah. I don't get the Prime thing. I'm supposed to get all these free movies, and every time I go to a movie, it has a price on it.
There's a lot of free movies.
But the ones with the price, I don't get for free.
No.
Yeah, there's nothing I found that I really want that's not free, it seems.
There's a lot of not free stuff on Amazon, but the shipping I think it's worth it. I think it's worth another $10 or $20.
Yeah, no question about it. But obviously, that if you think about that, it tied very nicely into the fact that they couldn't, they really couldn't do all of the, they were having trouble with the Prime memberships of putting them into place through the holiday season. And this, obviously, if you think about it, is why they had this big shipping problem. Because, you know, everybody was no longer paying for it. Got the hint. So we'll see what happens with Amazon. But, you know, it's kind of interesting to watch how you see a change in sentiment as the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 quarters, Amazon's been doing well on, you know, growing revenue, but missing earnings and guiding lower. But the stock goes up and it goes up and it goes up. And all of a sudden we have a sentiment change here in 2014. And people are not looking at these things as, you know, as kindly as they were. They're not being as patient as they were previously. Mm. Kind of a good lesson to look at what is all about the markets, that, you know, you have to watch how things are going in terms of, you know, the sentiment, because, you know, you just can have everything going well and you can even have good manufacturing numbers and good earnings numbers. But if something else is going on under the surface, whatever it may be, and there's some selling going on, and think about it, we had buying that went on, let's even call it the last 6 months of the year, last year, that was this ongoing, every time there's a drop, money came in really hard. We saw that the money into equity ETFs and mutual funds were the highest in 2013 than they were in years. Now, if in fact that is the case, and add to that that margin levels, the level where people are leveraging their accounts, the highest they've been since 2008, if selling does ensue and does continue, you have to bleed out all of that money, right? So first you're going to get whacked on the margin. You know, they got to pull that out fast because obviously that is a multiplier. And then you have all the retail that may have put in excess money that has to start withdrawing. So it's not a 1 or 2 day process if, in fact, the selling is for real.
So what are you saying? It's going to keep falling?
Well, I mean, right now we're seeing, what is the markets? The markets are, we're in the second week, or we're in the first week of February, and the S&P is down 5% for the year. The Dow Jones down 6.83% for the year already.
What's a normal correction?
10-ish, you know, 10
yeah,
or so.
Well, we've got ways to go.
We have plenty of ways to go, and especially because if we have to remove some of the excess that was there to begin with. You know, a normal correction is one thing, but a correction after you had, what, about 12 months of just money coming in? And really,
yeah, ludicrous run-up.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
let's say 15%. Let's just call that.
Okay.
Let's call it.
We're calling it. Radio Shack is closing about 500 stores.
Yeah. This is disconcerting.
What are they going to do? That's a lot of stores. How many stores do they have in total, I wonder?
Lots.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Let's take a look. Go check it out.
A number of stores Radio Shack has. 500 stores. So I wonder if they're getting the hint that maybe people are shopping online. I'm just thinking.
Well, you know, it's not as if Radio Shack can't sell stuff online. But most of the time, I go to Radio Shack quite often because I need something this minute.
Right.
You know, oh, cable broke or something. I got to run over there. They have a lot of cables and things.
Now, do you remember
I'm trying to find the number of stores here. It doesn't really. There it is. 7,150.
So about 8% of the stores they're closing. Didn't they have a, wasn't there an experiment they did? It was something called Planet Electronics or something like that? Or
yeah, there was. I think it was in L.A. they tried some.
Yeah, there's one in Florida, too. There was a gigantic.
Yeah, it was supposed to compete with the Best Buy, I think.
Yeah, it was a cool store. It was a cool store.
Yeah, huge place.
Yeah, they closed that. Let's see. Twitter coming out with their earnings after the close on Wednesday. I believe this is the first earnings, right, for Twitter?
I think it might be.
And this is the most important one because if, you know, this is kind of some time went on, the stock went up dramatically. After the close tomorrow, any thoughts on what may happen here?
Well, let's see, with the market pressure going downwards, what is the stock's, what's the trading right now?
I want to say, you know what, no, you just, no, 50-something, TWTR.
TWTR.
Let's look at the exact price here. 66.
Oh, it's got to take a fall.
He does?
I'm putting on my list as a short.
I hear you.
Can't hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still trying to get my feet. We had this such a great year last year. We're still getting our feet wet here on our picks.
Yeah, no, this is just the warm up. We're in the warm up stage of this. I wonder what the P is not even is nothing there because we haven't seen earnings, so I guess it's not even there. 50% institutional owned. This is a 52-week high was 74. 52-week low 38. Obviously, it's new.
What institution would buy this stock?
Well, they were chasing this thing and running it up because it was the next potential Facebook. Minus the early market problems. And as Facebook earnings went up, don't forget you saw that this thing was coming in a bit, and Facebook earnings came out, and there was an immediate reaction by Twitter. Twitter was up about 8% on the Facebook earnings. And I still don't understand, you know, Facebook has so many ways to do ads and be, have interaction and to really pin down who the people are. I mean, Twitter, if you think about the amount of data and information that Twitter has on you compared to Facebook, is there even a comparison?
For me, there's no comparison since I don't have a Facebook account.
Oh, okay. But if you were
for most people, yeah, Facebook has got all the goods on you. They might as well be an intelligence gathering company.
Right. What does Twitter have on you?
They got your attitudes about things. Something sucks maybe. I disagree, and then you say what you disagree on. They haven't got anything really, just a bunch of stuff going to the Library of Congress. By the way, you should always remember that your tweets are there forever.
Yeah. Even if you push the delete key?
I think it goes to the Library of Congress anyway.
I really am having a hard time, and maybe it's just me, understanding.
That's why I think it's a good short.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's only a 50-cent stock.
All right. I don't know. I'm mystified about it. It just seems like the Emperor's New Clothes or something.
Yeah, no, it's just you. This is you in the early days of Crocs.
Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah.
And that was about $70, $80 a share.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. A lot of similarities. Interesting. Okay, let's talk about Lenovo. You know this company, right, Lenovo?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Big computer company out of the East. And one of the things that I started to see and read about the last several weeks was that Lenovo had been looking to buy all these companies. I think they were picking up one of the businesses, the hardware business from HP. And they were looking at another thing from IBM. And I'm not sure exactly. There was a bunch of things that they were looking to buy. And each one of those constantly said, it is one of the worst performing of the company. So, in other words, they were buying the crap from all these companies. And I started thinking about this. I'm thinking, what?
That's why they bought Motorola.
Like, what's going on here? You know what I'm saying? Why are they buying the junk? Do they think they could do such an incredible job? I mean, if they buy one thing, okay, fine. You know, maybe they have something in mind. They're going to do a big turnaround. There's a big synergy going on. I don't know. But they're starting to go after all this junk, all the worst parts of the companies that are out there.
You know, people bailing out.
Yeah. And how could that be good for the company? Well, I guess it's not, because the stock finally collapsed, down 15% yesterday, the most since 2009, after a downgrade by a major firm on their buying spree.
Well, what stock are we talking about?
Lenovo.
Yeah, but there's Lenovo Group. There's Lenovo ADRs. There's a bunch of different Lenovos being traded in different countries. And they're all over the map.
Well, it's the one that was, I think, traded in Japan.
One of many.
No, I understand that, but let's take a look.
It looks like a juggling act, if you ask me. There's one in Hong Kong. There's one in Berlin. There's one in the Berlin Stock Exchange. There's one in the DAC. There's Stuttgart Stock Exchange has one. There's this, just the Pinks.
Yeah, but they just trade. Group. Those usually just trade on. You'll see a lot of stocks that trade that way. Is the Lenovo Group?
Yeah, but what's the main stock? Is it the Lenovo Group Limited?
Yeah, exactly. The one that trades in Hong Kong.
Oh, that's the Hong Kong one. That's Lenovo Group.
Yeah, Limited. It's the symbol 0992.HK.
Yeah.
You see, it went from $11 to
$8. What's the difference in that between LNVGY?
LNVGY. LNVGY. That's traded in the U.S. on the OTC.
Right. It's a pink.
Yeah. That one is a... It's the Novo that trades here. It's the same stock, same company. They just have another place that they trade.
Well, yeah, but one's 10 and one's 22.
Okay, but it's still the same basic underlying. It just happens to be the pricing.
Well.
And it was down 11% or so, you know, yesterday.
The 10-buck one?
The 10-buck one was down, I think, close to 15%, then it popped up about 1.5%. And Lenovo Group, it trades at different times, so that's one of the problems, was down 11.1%. So there was slight differential there. There's volume about 473,000 on the shares today, but the average volume is about 94,000. Again, it's just if you want to buy Lenovo and you don't want to buy it on the Hong Kong exchange because maybe your account, you can't do so, you'd buy this.
The pink?
Yeah, you don't have much of a choice.
I guess.
I mean, if you type in Lenovo, let's see what comes up. Oh, that's not what I want to have. Let's see, finance. So I'm on Yahoo because that's where it took me to. Lenovo. And it will bring up all sorts of crap that I don't want to see, to be honest with you.
Well, here's the one that I'm looking at, and it's got I'm talking about the pink, and it's got a forward price earnings ratio 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess, quick.
50.
322.
Wow. Nice. That's awesome.
322 price earnings ratio.
They win.
That doesn't sound good.
They win. That's not good. So
I don't think they're going to be growing that fast if you can rationalize this purchase.
Exactly. So, you know, the
peg. Guess the peg.
Well, the peg's got to be 6.
19.
Oh, really?
These are record breakers.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's 19.
Bernanke is now officially the former Fed chairman.
Yeah.
And Yellen is now in. And can you imagine? He's gone over to the Brookings Institute, started already. And his first order of business. Any ideas?
He's going to do a report on inflation.
A book.
A book, yeah. I should have said book. I meant book.
Yeah, a book about his time at the Fed. How great is that? You get out of
and how great he was there.
Yeah. Yes. Let me tell you about me.
He got us through the second. He let the thing collapse on us, and then he got us out of the hole somehow.
Yeah, and left us to holding the bag on the backside of what to do next. Well, but you know, he's going to be a book. I mean, this is great. So this
good
guy
money at the Brookings Institute if you can get a job there.
Yeah, I don't think he had a problem getting a job. I don't even know if he had to really put together a resume.
No.
You don't think he did like an online kind of submission or anything? No?
Probably tweeted.
I'm available. You're hiring me.
You know, hashtag Brookings.
But he's writing a book, so now he's going to be on the speech circuit as well. I mean, he's going to be making all sorts of money, this guy. He took a lot
we'll
of pain.
We'll have to be listening to his theories for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, the Bernanke best. All right, let's see. Oh, IBM. I've decided... I wasn't, but I am no longer going to even be nearly on the IBM bandwagon. I have totally lost an understanding of what this company is.
Yeah?
Because
there's a lot of IBM followers that are in the market that gave up on IBM years ago once nobody knows what they really do. I mean, they still have the mainframe business. They got no computers other than that. They still have a good research company. They make chips still, as far as I know. But most of their business is just bull crap. It's just, you know, going and saying, hey, you know, hire us to, you know, put a system together for you.
But even so, even if they have that consultancy business, what's really troubling me is the way that they are supposedly growing earnings. And I've talked about this before with their buybacks and all that good stuff. But there's more, because it seems that when you really look into this, that the tax rate for IBM has reached a two-decade low, because what they're doing is that they are sending their profits through a Dutch subsidiary. So there's
I like it. They're playing a little games here.
Yeah. And basically what happens is they take all their sales, almost all their sales from Europe and the Middle East, Africa, Asia, and some of the Americas through the Netherlands unit. And what has happened is that if you track their tax rate over the last 20 years, their pre-tax income quadrupled because of the fact they have such a low tax rate. And last year, the rate slid to the lowest level since 1994, which lifted earnings above analyst estimates. Now, if you put that into perspective with the fact that they're selling off all these divisions and getting some money from that.
Cashing out.
Yeah, and they get their low tax rate, and they have a just an unbelievable amount of buybacks they're doing, which also gooses the earnings. So you add these all together, I don't even know if the company has to make any money to make their earnings anymore. I don't even know what they're doing. That's what I'm seriously. They're no longer a tech company.
Playing financial games.
That's it. There's a company that's all about financial reengineering, and you know, doing so in order to boost their income. And it's a fraud, but it's just not real. So
it's a unique game they're playing.
Yeah, they have seven straight quarters of declining revenue. So they fired all sorts of workers or furloughed workers so that they can meet their numbers. So all they're doing is playing a game to keep pace with what I wonder when finally the cloak is going to come off. And, you know, they're going to take from whatever it is, $180 stock down to $100.
Well, this is a waiting game.
Yeah,
essentially.
Right.
They are hoping, you know, economic downturn, which we're still in, as far as I can tell, and you're not going to do well. IBM's not doing any better than any of these companies in playing this game. And so they do all these tricks, like you just mentioned, to keep afloat until things turn around, and then they can go in the other direction, and they can, you know, sell stock into the market at a high price, and they can, you know, start making money, all kinds of, just kind of in the other direction. They can just do the opposite of what they're doing.
Right. So what you're saying is they're going to buy back all these shares, and they're going to, you know, move up their profits from that and all the other things that they're doing that are...
Right, keep this everything propped up.
Right. Not business related, in other words. And then they'll come out with a big offering, take that in and get all sorts of money into
right.
the... You know,
yeah, and then take that money to buy back shares.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Anyway, so I'm starting to think that they go on the short radar. Very shortly. After a while, if you have all this, you know, declining seven quarters of declining revenue in a time when companies have been really expanding, and you know, I just don't see it. And their big goal of $20 a share in adjusted earnings by 2015, which is next year, which is up from about $11.60 in 2010. I mean, the only if they have the capacity to do so through all of this, they can make that. But then what? If they're selling off their businesses, they're firing people, and where do they go after they meet this number, this goal?
It's like they're borderline liquidation,
right?
Self liquidation,
right?
Yeah, well, this began some time ago with their deal with Lenovo to take their PC business and take it to China. And it just continues.
Yeah.
It's got property to sell. They sold a big facility or a bunch of property in, I think, in Santa Clara County.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be turned into something. They still have the Almaden Research Center, which is, in terms of property value, is worth millions.
They may still own the big property they have in Boca that, you know, where...
Right, the Boca property is worth billions, yeah, probably, yeah. And so, they can dump that. There's no reason to keep it.
Yeah, I don't think I think they still own that, but I don't think they're functional down there.
No,
you know, so
they're just holding on to it, just to dump it.
Yeah,
they're doing it in a very strategic way. They're doing it. They're just not going crazy.
Yeah.
It's not obvious what they're up to.
Maybe I'll put them on our list. We'll see. We'll get to that. Well, in Hong Kong now. You know, there's having this H7N9. What was last year? H1N5 or H5N1?
No, it's H1.
H5N1?
Well, the bird flu.
Yeah, well, this is H9. This is the avian influenza virus that's going around. It's the H7N9.
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
I guess that's it, yeah.
And
that's the one that kills you.
Yeah. So this is... There was, let's see how many people there was. Sampling of chickens imported from the mainland China tested positive for this. And, oh. Yeah, so 20,000.
Yeah, that's in Hong Kong, but they haven't been shipping them over here.
No, no. But now there's going to be 20,000 chickens that will be culled. Like, yeah. Nice word for, you know what, cutting the necks off, killing them. And it's going to take like 2.5 weeks to get this whole thing, you know, organized. I always go back to the amazing and the astonishment that I have with how many potential chickens are actually bred and eaten, or maybe breaded. You can have fried chicken, but how many chickens are killed each year and, you know, to feed China, just China alone. The numbers must be staggering.
Yeah, with that, how many billion people? Four?
No,
three?
No, it's 1.5 billion, let's call it. And
there's 1.5 billion? I thought it was like 2 billion or 3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
No, and here's another thing you got to look up.
All right, let me go to look up here. China population. Okay, 1.35 billion.
Oh, okay. No, they got a ways to go. Okay, 1.35 billion, and so there has to be at least one chicken per person eaten a year, a whole chicken. So that's 1.3 billion chickens, but in fact, they probably do eat a chicken every few days. Must be billions and billions and billions of chickens.
Like, where do they store these?
Hundreds of billions. Well, chickens grow up pretty quickly before, you know, you can get a chicken to eating size within, you know, I think a month.
So if you think about that, though, in a month, okay, so let's say there's a turnover of chickens once a month, and let's say it's 1.3 billion chickens a year. So we're talking about, what, 100 million chickens per month? That seems
like a lot of chickens.
Seriously, man, that's a lot of chickens. I mean, that's a lot of eggs. It's a lot of chickens.
Yeah.
That's a lot of things going on there.
If there's no chickens in the world, we'd probably have a kill off of humans.
Yeah, possibly.
We really eat a lot of chickens.
A lot of chicken. And people, you know, there's a lot of people who are all about, oh, I don't eat meat and all that, I'll eat chicken, and you know, and but they don't eat pork, and the people who, there's a lot of people, you know, what's the deal with people that are vegetarian, not eating any meat, but they'll eat fish? Is it they think fish have no pain, or, you know, what is that about?
Didn't you bring this up on the last show?
Yeah, I'm going to bring it up every show, I think, probably. You know, it's crazy. Anyway, I'm not bringing up shoes, at least, at the airport, okay?
You haven't brought that up for a while, but now you slipped it in. Very funny.
Yeah, well, that was pre-planned. Let's see. President Obama's healthcare overhaul. There's a big news item out today that talked about how that if you take the CBO put out some numbers. And it's roughly going to put $25 million into the public health care exchange by 2018, adds more than $1 trillion to the federal deficit over the next decade, and could create a small contingent of workers unwilling to work for fear of losing the federal Medicaid medical aid. And they came up with some number about how many potential jobs are going to be lost because of this, which was seemingly exactly opposite of what was supposed to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And then adding $1 trillion to the deficit.
Supposed to save money.
Yeah, save money and not cost taxpayers one.
I think we've been buffaloed.
Mm. So that's a shame. I think they got a few million people on there now. And do you know anybody that actually bought the insurance? Well, had some experience or?
My wife went through some process and she got some sort of insurance. I don't know if she went through the government. Or the state, or I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing about people, you know, having a miserable time trying to get this insurance.
Yeah. I don't know if it got any better, but there was, in the beginning, it was definitely fraught with problems. So who knows? I mean, I think if Verizon took it over, took the whole website thing over and got that thing, you know, working and cranking a bit. So there was a lot better of a result on the second start of the whole thing. But I just find it really interesting that, you know, if we are going to, in fact, have to pay, you know, everybody said it was going to cost money, because how can it not cost money? How can it not be more expensive overall if you're going to put a lot more people on, and those people that are going to go on are probably the people that have the health issues. And just if you just do some very basic, you know, thinking about it, it was going to cost a lot more. So the question is, you know, how are we going to pay for that? Now, it's a decade and you spread it out and all that, but we don't need any more on the deficit, do we?
Mm-mm.
Nope. Now, oil and natural gas, we've seen that natural gas has been all over the place. I mean, it's been...
Yeah, it dropped today.
It was been up, down. I know, it was up 10% today.
I thought it went down.
No, that was yesterday.
Oh.
It's been moving like crazy. And, you know, the whole weather issue, and then there was some... When the numbers came out last week in terms of the inventories, they really were... It was a bearish inventory for natural gas, and it came down pretty hard. But that was picked up very quickly again because they talked about some more weather coming in. And it's an unbelievable movement in this commodity. And one of the things we noticed was that historically there's been this situation where it would cost you more. So if natural gas was, let's just say, $5 right now per on a monthly futures contract, you get $5. And you look out to the future, there was usually what was called contango, which was a much higher price over time that was being assumed in the market. And you would actually... have to roll that. We talked about this. We have to roll that and you'd lose money in that. Well, recently, very recently, there's been a change. And the opposite of contango is backwardation, which means that the price in the future is actually less than the price today.
Huh.
So people are looking to buy this stuff now and saying, I'll take the higher price now than waiting, right? That's the concern. Before it was like, listen, I'll wait a little while and, you know, if I have to pay more, okay, fine, but I'll, you know, it's not a big deal. Now, the price is much higher on the short side, you know, the current contract, and in the future, it moves down. So I put a couple of charts up here, basically just showing what this looks like. And there's a natural gas futures chart that shows the beginning of, the mid part of 2013, where the prices from the early contract to the later contract, there's a 22% differential. See how that was that big slope on the upside?
Yep.
Then you got a big move down where there was the natural gas, and you look at kind of where it was in the future, and there's about an 18% decline about in there. And all of a sudden, it started ramping back up again into the beginning of this year. Well, now all of a sudden, it's turning lower. People are looking to pick this up now, and the future is much less. And the same thing is not as pronounced in the oil futures market. We saw it's different in that it's a little bit smoother. The contango for about 3 months out was about almost 2% back in the middle part of 2013. And as we got closer to 2014, all of a sudden the whole thing started inverting where we had a lower price for the futures contract. So right now, if you look out and if you wanted to buy the 2015 July, you're going to be paying about $87 or $89 per barrel, whereas the current contract is about $96. So there's this... This is good for investors, actually. This is good if you're theoretically, if nothing changes and oil stays at the same price right now and you look at buying one of these ETFs possibly, what happens is that if there is the lower price in the future, you're going to have some benefit because you keep buying at a lower cost, the lower cost.
Right, so,
you know?
Right.
So
this says to me, though, is that the price is going to drop like a rock.
Right. Well, the theory is that nobody's willing to pay out into the future because they think that, hey, I'll buy what I need now, or whether it's going to be a futures contract or the actual product for use, I'm going to buy it now because I just, you know, I really have not a good confidence that it's going to be a lot, you know, a lot more expensive in the future, and I'm not going to worry about it, and whatever happens, happens. They're really not worried about the cost right now.
Hmm.
That's kind of what that talks about.
That's interesting.
Yep. Now, Apple. We saw they came up with earnings and really didn't do very well. They hit that, I think they hit about $4.95 last week and then popped up from there. There's some talk about how they're really bulking up their internet infrastructure. And I was thinking about, I mean, I don't know how much they're going to be bulking up here. But, I mean, they have incredible amount of, I don't want to call it bandwidth, but, you know, of use right now between their stores and, you know, their iPhones and their iCloud. I mean, I'm not sure what is going to be the...
I think they're talking about the iCloud mostly.
And what's the point of that? They're talking about what? For the distribution, possibly deeper to move into television. So, I mean, we're talking about what? A Netflix model?
Maybe. That sounds like a good idea. Sounds like a plan.
And, but I go back to the whole idea of just buying...
They have an opportunity to do stuff like that.
I still think that they should just buy a company. Why keep on bulking this? I mean, maybe...
Well, they can't buy Netflix.
They buy Hulu. We talked about that.
They can buy what?
Hulu.
Oh, Hulu. I thought you said Google. Sorry.
No, they can't buy
Hulu. Yeah, Hulu. I don't know. Well, maybe Hulu's not... I don't know. Yeah, you're right. They should buy Hulu. Maybe they will. Maybe Hulu's an interesting play because it could be bought.
Yeah, but it's not publicly traded.
Yeah, well, there you have it.
So, but that would have been great. That's probably one of our best ideas ever.
Yeah, all the good it'll do us.
Let's get to the, dare I say, the stocks. Let me mention one thing before we get there. Next Wednesday, not this one, but February 12th, I believe it is, we're doing an online live webinar on the newest indicator that we have out for TradeStation, which is called Aileron, which is like the aileron from a plane. And it's 2 o'clock. It's free. If you want to check it out, go over to triggercharts.com and click the button that says, about the webinar, and you register, and you'll be online and ready to rock, and we'll tell you all about it. It's cool stuff. Okay, what do we got here? Okay, now, looking at this bloodbath of stocks, do you have anything to say here?
No, it's all your fault.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's interesting how the shorts...
We did say, and I did title the last show, though, Time to Short.
And that's not working either.
Yeah, I know. The shorts didn't work out.
It's just not working.
I don't know why the shorts didn't... Well, maybe the shorts will work out by this time next week.
It's possible. I mean, right now, you look at some of the... It's really interesting because some of the moves have been just enormous. You look at, for example... Anheuser-Busch. This is not a go-go stock, right? This is not a crazy mover that, you know, but yet it's down 7.5% in the last, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's odd.
You know, and you look at natural gas, we were stopped out of. I mean, that was all, look at it. See, today it's up 7.5% today, the UNG fund. We were stopped out of that, lost about, I don't know, 7.5-8% on that. Yahoo is the one winning short here.
Yeah.
And actually, it's the one winning stock on this list.
Yes, the one stock in green.
And it's up 31%. No, that's 0.31%.
Yes, it's up a penny.
Yeah. And even Netflix can't go down. It's crazy.
Well, it's still not. It's pretty break even on that one.
Yeah. The one that's interesting, I still find Green Mountain fascinating. You know, so Bed Bath & Beyond just get...
Yeah, you shorted it and went up for 5%.
It's amazing. I mean, you saw all the companies around it, like you know, the suppliers of these kind of things just get tanked. SodaStream got just obliterated. Bed Bath & Beyond got hurt. They sell through there. Amazon, the retail. I mean, the only thing I could think of about this is the possibility that there is a buyback plan that's maybe being, executed or...
At Netflix?
No, at Green Mountain.
Oh, Green Mountain, yeah. It's possible.
Yeah. So really,
that's a nasty stock. You've hated this stock.
Yeah, Not a big fan of this. I think that with all the competition with Starbucks, and even Starbucks took a big beating. And this Green Mountain just can't. It just can't.
Sure, they had meetings about this.
Oh, really?
I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe. So in terms of stocks, in terms of things that we are going to stick our neck out in this kind of very crazy mode of a market, you still leaning on the short side conceptually, or?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, it's not like I'm completely, you know, I mean, there's some long possibilities here. I mean, I'm looking at the inside trades, but you know, if the market's going to keep going down, which it might, I'd sure like to be on a couple of shorts that make up for lost time.
Yeah.
And the only one I can find, and I'm not even sure, I should probably do some more research before I jump on this one, is that three insiders, three different ones, have gone short on global brass and copper to the tune of $104 million apiece.
Insiders now, are going against the company? Or they're just selling?
Sorry?
Insiders are going against the company, or they're selling?
Yeah, okay. They're selling. I normally, like I said, if somebody who sells doesn't mean anything. They're just taking money off the table.
Right.
But when I see three guys doing it at $100 million a piece, I have to think that, well, you know, I mean, normally I'm not thinking like that, but this is just kind of odd. I mean, there may be some explanation for it. Maybe they're all indicted. I have no idea. But they're not big insider traders. They don't buy and sell a lot. Maybe they just got lucky.
Right.
But the way that looks on the chart, it's not like a chart that is like, you know, it was It doesn't look like a place you'd sell it. Just the whole thing is fishy.
What's
so
the,
I think I'll go short on
this
and see what happens. Take a look at the chart on this. What? BRSS.
BRSS, enter. Let's see. Global Brass and Copper. BRSS. All right. Let's see. Yeah, it's rolling down a little bit. It's got that support there at the 17, right where it's at.
Right.
Up a bit today. What is it? What do these guys do? Let's see here. Average market value. Okay, got all this. They had a secondary and in January, end of January. 3.7 million sold by shareholders. Yeah. That's not good. The earnings release is coming after the close. That was then November. When's the next one coming out? Let's see, X dividend, 4P, 7P, not too bad. Okay. Yeah, they increased it. And then they increased, not only did they put the secondary out, they did an increase in the secondary. Wow. Yep. Wow.
And just a weird situation, it looks like.
Let me look at this in a longer period of time here. This is in, they popped all the way down and they moved back up. And if you look at the longer term chart, you see the clear downtrend.
Yeah.
You see that big old downtrend that's going on. So I don't have too much of a problem here. $17 stock, but still, I'm not sure what the shorts, how much shorts are out there. It's a short positioning, but not very. Yeah. So you got a high PE. It's got a little bit of a dividend. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that at all.
I think I'll put it on there then.
So we got that on the list. Okay. Anything else?
What was the one we were talking about earlier in the show that just looked like you were talking about?
IBM. IBM. But there was something else. You said, I'm going to put that on my list. Let me look at the list of things we have going on here. We have Lenovo. We talk about Radio Shack. Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter. Let's short Twitter.
Okay, let's put that in here. Insert. All these are available, by the way. You can check it out on, you go over to dhunplug.com. And on the right-hand side, you'll see the weekly stock picks button. You just click that, and you'll be able to see what's going on with this. It's a live update throughout the day provided by
us. So far this year, it doesn't look good.
Nah, it's okay.
We get our sea legs, around March. So
yeah. And you know what? You can't win. We can't show everybody how we get only winners. You know.
Well, we did last year.
Last year was hot. I'll give you that. But, it's funny. Like I said, I think the funny thing is that it's not just that we're losing on shorts or longs. It's everything. Everything runs the board. Looks terrible. Medical marijuana down 20%. That was out. That's just about to be out. It's not out yet. But, you get 20% stops on those. So we'll see. Ironwood, did really well, and then it kind of came back, and that's that moves around a lot, that stock. Actually, I think Ironwood is out now that I look at it. Yep, it is. So that's another one that's gone. I really like Ironwood, too. It's too bad. Let's see. And,
pot, the marijuana thing's out.
No, it's not out yet. It's on the edge. I guess it's out, yeah. It's a good point.
It's out.
Yeah. 0.32.
I still think that's a good, that just looks more attractive. I sound like CNBC.
If you liked it at 40 cents, you love it at 32.
Yeah.
Maybe
you like it at 15 cents. Right.
Finisar is another one. It was up 8% a couple days ago on some good earnings from another company, and then it just kind of just collapsed. Didn't feel like staying up there. And you see this, today we saw, for example, the markets today were just, they were thrusting. You get this big move up on the top of the hour, the bottom of the hour, and then it just fade. And then boom, and then fade. And then they kind of tried to move it really aggressively into the close, but then it faded a bit. And then, like I said, it turned over. Something's going on around the world that really wasn't out there. We couldn't find any news. We looked at a variety of different services we used. Nobody had anything about what was going on. It's got to be something going on because they wouldn't take that down. I think the NASDAQ was from high to low, like 25 points lower from the high in the mid-afternoon till the close of the futures, which is 4:15 in the afternoon. So anyway, that's about all we have for this week. Of course, this is a game that we play. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. And if you do utilize any of these, please seek professional advice in order to make sure that you are doing so within your risk limits, etc. John C. Dvorak, Andrew Horowitz, or clients of Horowitz Company may own some of these stocks, and we duly note those on the spreadsheet that you need to check out. How's that?
Sounds good.
Yeah. And I'm going to ship you some of the food I made, by the way. It's
okay.
It could go with slow train. It's all smoked. It was all smoked. So that could
Yeah, smoked is good.
You stay for a while, right?
Yeah.
The duck was outstanding. Mm. You like duck?
Yeah, I loved it. Who doesn't like duck?
Oh, I know people that don't like duck.
Well, I don't know why.
Yeah, it was smoked duck tacos.
Like them having duck soup for dinner.
Oh,
Chinese style.
Great movie.
It was a good movie.
And all right, I'll talk to you next week. I look forward to it.
On Tuesday.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.